But that love is smothering, because you believe that you do not live in a safe universe. And each of you, to some degree or another, here believe that the universe is not safe, and therefore you must set up your defenses against it. Now the one line official consciousness with which you are familiar says, the world is not safe. I cannot trust it, nor can I trust the conditions of experience or the conditions of my own existence, nor can I trust myself. I can look at a squirrel and rejoice, but I cannot look at myself and rejoice, for lo, I am filled with iniquity. And I am to some extent evil, and I must hide myself. I am not only evil as myself, but I come from a tainted and a flawed race, and my father and my mother is tainted before me. And I send these tragic flows on before me into the future. And therefore I must need protect myself. And I must set up my defenses in whatever way I can to protect myself in a universe that I cannot trust, and to protect myself from a self that is evil and flawed. And as long as you hold to those beliefs, then in whatever way you must need set up defenses. It may be that love is smothering. Other beliefs instead will follow. You have an entire civilization and a world set up about those beliefs I have just given you. That the universe is not safe, that you must defend yourselves from enemies that come from without, and worse of all, from enemies that are within. And so indeed do you feel uneasy and set up your barriers and run as fast as you can in whatever way given you from those enemies that are the result of a one-line official kind of consciousness. As long as you believe that you dwell in a universe that is a threat, you must defend yourself against it. As long as you believe that the self is flawed and that your race is damned and evil, you must also defend yourself against yourself. And how can you then trust the voice of the psyche? And when I say to you, be spontaneous, how dare you take that step, when to be spontaneous would obviously give a rise to all of the lust and all the passion and all the murder and all the hatred to you quite obviously inherent in the human heart. And so you say, I will try to be spontaneous, but how can I? I believe I am good, but how can I be good when I come from a race that is evil? You try to say, the universe is safe. And then you watch the news on television, or you read your newspaper, and you say, what lie is this? How can the universe be safe when I read about wholesale murder and war and trickery and greed? How can I be myself? For if I am myself, will I not unleash unto the world only more of the horror that I see about me? For surely human nature cannot change, and human nature is evil. Look already what evil it has worked upon the planet in which I have my existence. Then tell me, Seth, be spontaneous. What do you ask of me? And how can I, therefore, in this context, stand upon the authority of my own psyche and say, I insist that I am good? The official line of consciousness forms a world about it, and you perceive and experience that world, and it will always show you the results of the beliefs that are inherent in the official line of consciousness. While you devote yourself to that official line of consciousness, the world will always appear the same: evil, disastrous, bound only for demolition, whether through nuclear destruction or the greater judgment of a fundamental God. Now, Hubert was a leader, correct. For the Nature of Personal Reality is a good book.
Yeah.
It is a helpful book. And it is a far trickier book than you realize. It will lead you automatically. If you use it well, out of the official line of consciousness, you will begin to question not only your own private beliefs for your own purposes, but the nature of belief. It will lead you to look for other strands of consciousness. Now, Rupert is working with what he calls the codicil, material that he is getting from the library. And those codicils, if you will forgive the term, are truths. They are truths that are quite apparent at another stage of consciousness. The one-line stage of consciousness was necessary for reasons that Rupert has clearly given in his own new book. But that stage contained within it its own impetus. It set up challenges that could not be solved at that stage of consciousness, and that would automatically lead you into other strands of awareness. Only then can those contradictions make sense. Only then can you say, individually and listen now, I live in a safe universe. You need not say, the universe is safe. for at your present level that will only enrage. You see, instead, I live in a safer universe, and so you shall. And those defenses that you set up against threats will crumble, for they will not be needed. Now, when you are born as a child, you are born in trust. When you become born again in a samadhi birth, then you wed innocence and knowledge. You know that you are innocent. You know that you know that your universe is safe. Now, in his book, Rupert has come upon these cutters, and they are practical and they are realities. But at the official level of consciousness, they sound impossible, and they contradict everything that it seems you know at that level of existence. So you must, and you are learning here and there to alter the stages of your consciousness where those codicils make sense. Each of you tell yourself that you live in a safe universe. Do not say the universe is safe. It will only confuse you at this stage.
Yes.
But you are safe. And you are innocent. And you can become aware of that innocence. Now, the city could not be completed at the stage of consciousness with which you began that project, for it would contradict the reality that you accept. But this city can now be complete as each of you learn to alter the focus of your awareness. For when you enter that city, and when you build it, you will leave the official one-line kind of consciousness as your main criteria for reality. You will take it with you as one picture or as one view, perhaps as a landscape that you have seen somewhere. A beautiful one that you love. But it will not be the entire picture. You must step out of that picture while loving it and holding it tenderly in your hand. The nature of personal reality. They will begin to examine their beliefs. And they will think that they are doing so to get rid of one problem or to gain an advantage. But they will soon find themselves involved in challenging the entire belief system that they know. And when they do, they will automatically begin to alter the focus of their consciousness. They will automatically then begin to alter the nature of their world. Then, my dear Clinton, we will have another book ready for them. Unknown reality will confuse them further. It will disorient them completely. And then we will come out with another book that will help them find their footing in the world that they know, but a new footing that is not the same as the one they knew before. We will help them out of the confusion that we have caused them. In other words, now I have always been a teacher. And because I am a teacher, I have many messages. And I am not confined to your one line official consciousness. So I have my own beneficial, playful trick. And the nature of personal reality was one of those. It will help many people. And they will get whatever it is that they think that they want. And a lot more that they did not count on. But I return now the floor to each of you. And to the great, exuberant cells that are your own. I do not know what he is doing. A good deal of the time, he likes to keep a secret from himself. He enjoys. And so you realized what he was doing in the poem, and he did not.
Just wanted.
Now, I am not going to say anything for a moment, but I want each of you to imagine your official line of consciousness going, say, like a line across your eyes, moving all of the time. Then I want you to imagine other strains of consciousness above, crisscrossing your forehead, connecting you with other realities. And I want you to imagine those lines interweaving with the official line of consciousness that you know, so that you can pick up snatches of them. And while I do not speak, there will be unheard sounds. And it is up for you to interpret. Listen to the sound that you do not physically hear. and feel the patterns intertwining. What a
Oh,
Who are quite involved with my ideas, who do not know my name. There are people who believe it or not, on the face of the earth, who are fairly content with their lot, and they do not know my name. They know themselves. They are aware of the vitality of their being, and they do not need me to tell them that they are important. The flowers and the cats and the frogs and the trees do not need me to tell them that they are important. And there are people who do not need me either for that reason. For they recognize the vitality of their own being, and they have ignored the belief systems of their time. They are ancient children. They may not read their philosophy. They listen to the wind. They watch the behavior of the season, and they listen to their heart. They do not need to read my books. They could have written my books if they could write. They are the voices of nature and of the season. And they recognize their origin, though they are not educated in your terms. And their heart speaks information that their intellect cannot possibly interpret. And in your terms, would they seem indeed ignorant? They tend a tiny garden. They speak words that would make no sense to you. for they would not be individual. They would babble and nonsense that in intellectual terms would make no sense. Yet would you recognize such person and the love within their being? They do not have to recognize Seth Sidney, but to recognize and enjoy the validity of their being. I speak to those who do not recognize the validity of their being. Those who recognize it have no need of me.
Don't you speak for more reasons than just that also?
There are those, my dear friends, who do not need me, for they are content. They are content because they realize in the depths of their hearts the joy of their own being. There are those who recognize the authority of their own psyche as it speaks to them in their private experience, and they do not necessarily even know the terms psychic experience. They, in your terms, may be ignorant. They may prattle or sound confused. They are as wise and as crafty as a flower. They do not need intellectual concepts because they understand the nature of love and the nature of the soul. If you were satisfied with the nature of your existence, you would not be here. There are those who are satisfied, and they do not need my voice. They find sufficient reinforcement from the dawn under the twilight. They find sufficient reinforcement in their parents and in their children. They find sufficient reinforcement from their dreams and from their waking experience. And they may seem simple to me. They may build or throw sawdust hour after hour, as you do. And yet they trust the simple authority of the twilight and the dawn. Speak unto them of Seth, and the word is meaningless. They do not need me. They do not need my voice because they heed the voices of the oak trees and of the birds and of their own being. And let me tell you, in certain terms, I am a poor imitation of the voices of your own psyches to which you do not listen. I speak to the world with it and try to to arouse within your being the great exaltation that you realize is your own. If you had it, you would not be here. You sense it. And you want it, and I have it. But so do you. But the child that does not need to listen to me, he is his own Seth and his own Samadhi. And you have your own Seth and your own Samadhi within you. I will be unneeded as all the ancient gods are unneeded, and gladly so. When you realize that the vitality and the reinforcement and the joy is your own, and rises from the fountain of your own being, and when you realize that you do not need me for protection, for there is nothing that you need to protect yourselves against. You are as innocent as the dawn or as the twilight, as innocent as if you were created in this moment. You are innocent. There is nothing, no crime you are guilty of, no penance you need to do, dear Pan. Do not insist. As you have, let a woman understand my word, only that she understand the messages that spring from her own soul.
I guess the question in my mind is, will that be enough for me, you know, in a relationship?
If a woman understands the messages of her own soul, what is there that you could require? Understand the messages are from your own soul. And then, when you have so understood, put the question to me again.
I got you.
So next week, come back and give you the same question.
Quite fascinating.
It's highly logical.
Oh boy.
I don't remember where.
I guess I might as well marry.
The
wife. All right. That's
thank
all.
God. Thank you. We asked for a heavy class. I think Seth was hinting he's going to be the last class for about the next 80 centuries. he was trying to break it to us gently.
Well, I came here in the first place. It's pretty easy to answer. I didn't trust myself or the chef. As far as anything, or at least I didn't.
Close the unclasp. But when you are afraid of your own authority, then you will accept almost anything rather than face the authority of your own psyche. A Mickey Mouse, you do.
This guy was about as close to Mickey Mouse.
Why did I say that? I opened myself up.
I agree. I know, I just wanted to...
The power of your own psyche. The authority of your own psyche has brought you easily, with majestic ease, into the life that you know. When you were a fetus, you did not question, where am I? Where am I going? You exulted in the fantastic vitality of your being. Your Scientology guru would have had no reality for you. You would have recognized the vitality and the validity and the authority of your own psyche. I tell you then now to listen to the authority of your psyche, of your being, to listen to the voices that you remember when you were children, the voices that spoke to you as you fell off to sleep. I ask you to recapture the courage and the joy and expansion you felt as children, when each new day was a miracle to be explored, and there were no authorities to tell you how to explore it. Even your parents were but guides that had nothing to do with the reality of you in relationship to the day, or a flower, or a raindrop. I ask you only to rediscover your wonder. I ask you only to rediscover your wonder. To look even at the world that you know from a different viewpoint, where there are no authorities, but the joy and authority of your being. Where time is not separated into moments. Where you waken each moment as you did when you were a child, each moment a new birth, a new fantastic reality in which you had your place and your part to play. Where the miracles were your own, and arose from the fantastic joy of your own being. That is what I ask you to do. To recapture those moments that existed before you were educated. And in your love, the two of you, forget your education, and you particularly. Dispense with what you think of on the one hand as your advantage. Only then can
it being an advantage. And enjoy the free vitality of your soul and body. There were times in your childhood when you heard the voices of the speaker, when as you fell asleep, the miracle of your own being came upon you, and you felt it in the very depths and fibers of your being. Then feel it now. The authority of your psyche speaks, if you will but listen. And there is no doubt, your psyche grows as any plant does without question. What is there within you that blinds you to the childlike wisdom of your own dream, that makes you question the nature of your being and your reality or your worth? You look at animals or plants and admire them, and you think that is nature, and nature is good, but I am a man or a woman, and the human race is damned, and we pollute the planet. Why can you not see within yourself the same innocence that any squirrel possesses? My voice, because of the mechanics, is heavy, I know, and deep. And yet within you is the light, mysterious, lovely joy that is your own knowledge of your own being and your own rightness in the universe. Listen now to that. It is not heavy as my voice must be. For to some extent my voice in your terms is not natural. But within you is the nature of your being. Those shadows and emotions and voices that you sensed in your nursery, that in your adolescence roused you suddenly to love and song, those voices are indeed the voices of the psyche. Listen now to them and follow them. The most I can do is to acquaint you with the authority of your own psyche, to give you a trust in the nature of your being. For if you trust what you are, you can never go wrong in whatever terms you use. You can fly through belief systems as a butterfly flies through backyards. Some of you more clearly than others understand what I am saying, and so your dreams will multiply with glory, and comprehensions will come to you. You will begin anew the building of your city that is a city you began to build in your dreams as children. All of those childish, unintellectual, joyous dreams that were yours will be materialized in vitality. Not only that, but they will be beacons for others to use. If only you'll trust the authority of your own psyche, and that psyche dwells in a world and a universe that is safe, in which you cannot be smothered or destroyed or ruined, in which you are always free. Now I return to that validity of your being, and to that authority that is always your own. For you dwell not only in this reality, but in others. And when you hear this energy, it is your own. You project it outward because you do not understand as yet that it is as light as a butterfly's wing, and that it is your own.